Well, beloveds of Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus, the risen Christ. Last Sunday, we began our four-part sermon series I've entitled God's Will for You. As I said then, many Christians around the world have, at one time or another, have asked, what is God's will for me? Now, granted, many have asked this question when they've come to a crossroads in life, when there is a big decision that needs to be made, or when we just feel so lost in general, we ask, what is God's will for me? After all, it would sure be nice to know what God desires for us, what God expects of us, what God would approve of us, what God would accept for us, and what right decision we would make so that we do not fail or disappoint God. It would be nice to know clearly what is God's will for us. Well, those of you who were here last Sunday will recall that I, against my better judgment, I went ahead and told you the answer to that question. I should have held it in suspense until the last of the four-part series is done. Well, I proclaimed last Sunday that the one and only place that you will ever know God's will for you is in the Word, in the Bible, in Scripture. This is the only source as to where we will ever learn, will ever find out what God's will for us is. This is why I highly encourage believers to attend Bible study classes or Bible study groups, to dig into the Word, to learn how to read the Word, to learn about the source of God's will for us. You see, a Christian that does not take the time or the opportunity to study the Word of God is like a ship without a rudder. Just wanders aimlessly, leaning to and fro, going shore to shore without any specific direction. Kind of like what Susan mentioned, someone who built a house out of sticks, out of straws, and certainly not on solid rocks. Now, those of you who were here last Sunday, do you all remember what I shared as to what God's will is for each of you, for each of us? What is God's will for you? Do you remember? It's been a week, I guess. Here it is. God's will for you and for His creation is that you live. From Genesis to Revelation, if you read the Word of God, that is the summation of those pages and pages and pages. That you live. After all, our God is the living God. And God is the God of life, not of death. And less than a month ago, we just celebrated how He allowed His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross instead of us, and how He raised Him back to life in order to vanquish and to destroy the power of death. All because He desires and He wills His creation and His beloved children to live. That is the synthesis of what God's will for all is, that we live. Last Sunday we talked about how God also demonstrated that same desire, that will to have the whole world live by giving his one and only Son, so that all those who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the life that God desires to for all his creation to have is not only for this lifetime, but for the life to come as well. God desire, God's will is that you live in this lifetime and in the next. That is God's will for you, that you live. Now that's love. That's the same kind of love that all mothers have for their children, that they live. That's God's will for you, that you live and not perish. Then later on in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, John records the word of our Lord Jesus saying, I came that they may have life and have it, how much? Abundantly. So there it is. God's will for you and for me is that we live. That we have life and have it to the fullest. Now, as Martin Luther would ask, what does this mean? If God's will for you is to live, how do you do that? What does he expect you to do? Well, the good news is that the answer to such a question is found also in the Word, in the Bible, in Scripture. And what I found and what I read in Scripture tells me that we are to LOL. Y'all familiar with LOL, right? What does it stand for? Laugh out loud. Not in this case. It's to live out loud. All God's children are to live out loud. Again, Uncle Marty, Martin Luther would ask, what does that mean? Well, before we go there, I need to unpack a little more as to what it means to live. So the question is living and being alive the same thing? Or are they different? Can you be alive and not be living? The answer is yes. You can certainly be alive and not be living. Now, questions like this reminded me of a parishioner from a previous congregation who got really upset after the service. He sought me out and says, don't ever, ever make us think in church again. I'm hoping this is a different congregation. There's a difference between being alive and living. See, the way I see it is that to be alive is to be able to breathe, have a pulse, a heartbeat. To be alive is to breathe, to take in oxygen and breathe or release out carbon dioxide. It's to take in clean air and breathe out toxic air. That's what it means to be alive. It's pretty much the easiest thing you could do. In fact, it's so easy, your body automatically does it. It's a matter, to be alive is a matter of basic biology. Living, on the other hand, is something completely different. Living is what happens or what is being done when you breathe. It's what is achieved when you breathe, what is accomplished in your breathing what is produced, what the end product and what is experienced in the process of you breathing. Living is experiencing those moments when someone takes your breath away. Living is never missing a moment. It's those moments laugh where you laugh until you can't catch your breath. It's those moments where you're crying until you'd rather never breathe again. Living is chasing your dreams until you're nothing but a wrinkled, exhausted reflection of you, of who you used to be. That's living. Living is loving your children so much that it hurts. It's sacrificing your happiness for others and losing yourself in the exhaustions of it all. Living is painting or cooking, whatever your hobby is, until you forgot your sorrows and your grief. It's loving every, maybe this is just for me, living is loving every bite of that red velvet cupcake. That's living. Living is burning out and falling down. It's failing and fighting back. It's running until you're out of breath. It's being wild and untamed. It's never stopping. It's not like being alive where you could simply cease to do anything but breathe. Living is never stopping, always looking, and never be complacent. One thing for sure is that living is not about preserving your breaths or counting them or watching them go in and out. Living is what you do with those breaths, those moments. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means that as God's people, whose will for us is that we live, it means that every breath in us is to be used to bring glory and praise to God. In other words, to live is to acknowledge God as the super supreme being and ruler of our lives. It means that we are to acknowledge and count on the fact that without God, there will be no breath. And without breath, there will be no life. We are to take our breath that He has given us and use it to walk the walk and talk the talk with Him, to act and to serve others for Him. And at the end of each day, we're to give thanks and praise for His mercy and grace that He has given us through our breath and what came out of our breath, the products, the end results. We have to give thanks and glorify Him for it all. This is what I call living out loud. Now, living out loud doesn't necessarily mean being noisy and ruckus. Living out loud does not necessarily mean being bombastic and just a shock factor. Living out loud can be expressed in quietness and in peace, in peaceful living, in godly living. This is what the Apostle Paul calls us to do in the epistle, in his epistle to the Ephesians. He said, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord always, and giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way. This is the way of the wise. And this is how Christians live life out loud as examples for the world to see. Now, in these six verses from Ephesians chapter 5, there are five imperatives, five commands, if you will, that Paul gave to the Ephesians, and thereby giving us modern-day Christians the same commands. These five imperatives are to guide us in our response to the Lord's love and salvation, and to live out loud as Christians in the world. Now today, I won't have time to go into each one of these five imperatives, but at least I would like to introduce them to you, and then next Sunday, we'll dive right into them, talking and addressing them, and learning how then we shall live. The Apostle Paul then calls Christians, you and I, to be careful. That's one, imperative one. Be careful. Then be wise. And use the time, use the opportunity that we have, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, give thanks. That's what the Apostle Paul would have us look at to know how we are to live out loud as followers of Jesus Christ. So y'all come back next Sunday. We'll dive right into these five imperatives as to how we're to live out loud as Christians. You might just be surprised. Amen.